two communities, two congregations in the county where I grew up that chose her name to be their name. There is an entertainment center in Memphis that chose her name to go with the name Land and is used so many times to bring joy to our young folks. There is a bell in Philadelphia that wears her name. There is a statue in New York Harbor that wears her name, the name of Liberty. It is a bit unusual that there are two Liberty Churches of Christ in Jackson County, where I came from, but there are two communities in that county that are known as the Liberty Community. There's Liberty Land in Memphis, and I think in a sense there is a Liberty Land throughout the United States. A Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, the Statue of Liberty in our harbor, that reaches out to the world and says, we want liberty for ourselves and for others. 212 years ago tomorrow, John Hancock placed his signature first on the Declaration of Independence. That same day, the King of Israel wrote in his diary in England, nothing very important happened today. He had not heard the news at that time, because they did not have ways of broadcasting and getting news around as you and I have today. But that Declaration of Independence, signed 212 years ago, meant a great deal not only for our country, but meant a great deal for the work of the Lord, because it is so much easier to serve God in a nation where we have a government like ours. That Declaration of Independence still includes today enlisting the rights of people along with life and pursuit of happiness, the idea of liberty. We need to stop and appreciate the liberties and freedoms that we have. And I think sometimes we tend to take those liberties and those freedoms for granted. It bothers me when I go to a ball game or something like that and see people who do not have the time to stop and address our flag as the national anthem is being played. I realize there are problems in this country, but I am so thankful to be an American, to have the privileges and opportunities that we have. And anybody who is not interested enough in paying respect to what has happened in the past to make it possible for us to be where we are today certainly has not stopped and thought things through as he should have. And I'd like to challenge those of you of the younger generation, and perhaps those of us that are a bit older need to be concerned about setting the right kind of example. I'd like to challenge you to always hold this freedom in high esteem and with appreciation for what has been done. I want us to think today, both this morning and this evening, on the subject of freedom or liberty. This morning we'll be thinking about freedoms we cherish, and tonight trying to go just a bit deeper as we look at the lesson of understanding freedom for what it is. There's an interesting conversation between the chief captain and Paul in Acts 22, verses 27 and 28. The chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He saith, yes. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Now notice those two statements from these two men. With a great sum obtained I this freedom. He was talking about the freedom to be a Roman citizen. And that may not have carried with it as much freedom as you and I even have today. But to be able to say that he was a Roman citizen and that he had the privileges that were afforded a citizen of that government, He said, I had to pay a great sum in order to be a citizen. Paul said, I was born one. I was born free. Most of us in the audience this morning can identify with that statement as far as our country is concerned. I'm sure there are a few of us gathered here today who may not at this point be American citizens, or perhaps have obtained that citizenship in a way other than having been born as an American. But aren't you thankful that we have the freedoms that we enjoy in our country? As I read some of these articles that are published in Brotherhood papers about what's happening behind the Iron Curtain, and how much it is for some of them just to be able to get a few Bibles into a certain country, just to be able to meet with a few people, and sometimes having to do that in secrecy, I am impressed again with what it means for us to be born free. And that song that we have heard so many times, Born Free, at least in those words and in many of the suggestions in it, indicate to us the privileges that we have. We have freedom of speech. If you want to get out here and speak, you can do that. Though I do not agree with what many might say, I'm thankful that each one has the right to the freedom of speech. We have the freedom of press. And I must admit to you sometimes that I'm a little bit disturbed by some of the things that are written by some of the people, some of the things that are published by some of the papers and included in some of the newscasts. But I wouldn't have it any other way than to have the idea of the freedom of press. We have the freedom of private enterprise in our country, where a person can have ambition and can attain success, and where he can use his talents and his abilities and his opportunities for himself and to serve other people. Aren't you thankful that we have those freedoms? We have the freedom of religion. Although sometimes there are some things happening in our time that make us begin to be concerned and wonder a bit. Some of the court cases and some of the rulings that have been handed down in recent years have concerned us greatly. And much effort is being done, believe you me, much effort is being done, particularly by several attorneys who are also New Testament Christians, to try to look for opportunities to be involved in these situations to make it possible for us to continue to have the freedom of religion. Oh, I think there is not a one of us here this morning who can fully understand that blessing. Unless perhaps some few of you have been in countries where you did not enjoy that freedom. Do you remember that's one of the basic reasons why our nation was founded? Why the Revolutionary War was fought? Why the Declaration of Independence became a reality? Why the Constitution of this nation was formed? I think it would be well for a lot of people to be reminded of that. That one of the basic reasons was that there might be an opportunity for freedom of religion, for each one to be able to worship in the way that he thought was right. I admit to you today that it concerns me that there are numbers and numbers of religious groups and that there is so much division among religions in our country. And yet, aren't you thankful that we have the right to exist? And that the same right and opportunity that allows those whom we believe to be far out to exist also allows us to pursue our thoughts of New Testament Christianity within the boundaries of the Bible. These freedoms did not come about accidentally. And this evening we will discuss a little bit more about what freedom has cost and what it continues to cost. But suffice it to say at this point, the freedoms that you and I enjoy today, July the 3rd, 1988, in the United States of America, did not come about accidentally. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears have gone into making it possible for us to come together in this particular building here in Henderson, Tennessee today. with our doors unlocked, without any fear that anyone's going to come in and disturb us and keep us from worshiping God in the freedom of America. We ought to cherish our national freedoms. Then there are some other freedoms that are talked about that are also important, and these are of a higher nature, the freedoms that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Galatians 5, verse 1. Now, folks, that's not talking about the freedoms of this country. It's talking about something on a higher level. Stand fast in that liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. In John 8:32, after talking about being the disciples of Jesus, in verse 31, he says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's not talking about physical freedoms. Down at verse 36, in that same 8th chapter of John, he says, "In Christ there is freedom indeed. There is real freedom in Christ." We need to appreciate and cherish those freedoms this morning and not take them for granted either. You know, not only was I freeborn as an American, but I was born into a set of circumstances where the New Testament church was known and upheld. I was born in a community where the New Testament church was and is the only religious group that's there. There has not been a building of any religious group other than the Church of Jesus Christ, the church that wears his name, the New Testament church, within 2.5 miles of my house where my dad and mother live today. There has never been one any closer than that to my knowledge. And when I was growing up, one was not even that close. I was born into a set of circumstances where the New Testament church was known, where practically everybody in the community attended. A few were not members, but almost every family attended. I have known nothing but the New Testament church as long as I can remember, as far as reality is concerned. Many of you in the audience this morning have had experience that were certainly unlike that set. Many of you know what it means to come from areas where there are some binding principles that bind you away from the true freedom in Christ, and what it really means to come into that freedom in Christ. Each one of us who has become a New Testament Christian, whatever the circumstances or the background, knows true freedom that cannot be found anywhere else except in Christ. But don't you think we sometimes take that freedom for granted also? And I think perhaps those of us who, like me, have known nothing but the church as far as being a part of it for an entire life, may sometimes come more involved in taking this idea for granted than others. It's always been there. I've known nothing else. Do I sometimes take freedom for granted, the freedom that I have in Christ? In Jesus Christ, we have freedom from ignorance. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have freedom from the curse of the law, Romans 8:2. Jesus died to free us from that curse of the law. The law of Moses was set into operation in such a way that the only way one could keep it was by perfection. And no man ever lived a perfect life save Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Therefore, if Christ had not come to free mankind from the perfection of that law, the perfect requirements of that law, there would have been no way of salvation. And so Jesus is said to free us from the curse of the law. In Jesus, we have freedom from the power of evil works. Now notice, we did not say freedom from evil. We are promised that we will have evil in this world, and that even as Christians, we'll suffer persecutions along with the blessings, Mark 10, verse 30. But 2 Timothy 4:18 says that Jesus frees us and gives us the power to overcome evil works. We cannot find that freedom anywhere else. Paul put it like this in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, provide or make a way of escape. There is that freedom in Jesus, you see, that we can overcome the power of evil, and as powerful as it is, and as much of a stronghold as it has sometimes in our lives and in our communities, in Jesus we can be free from the power of evil. Not free from evil, but free from the power of evil. Because, you see, also in Jesus we are free from the penalty of sin. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free. Notice, being then made free, ye became the servants of righteousness. Made free from what? From the penalty of sin. Sin separates between man and God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. To say we have not sinned makes him a liar. 1 John 1, 9. Sin cannot enter heaven. Revelation 21, 27. Therefore we are in need of Jesus Christ as our advocate and our propitiation. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Jesus came and died that we might have the freedom from the penalty of sin. Sometimes we may have to suffer the consequences for a long time. Rest assured, you, whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, can be free from the penalty of sin in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing. He makes us free from the devil. Oh, not free from the fact that he exists, but free from his power, in that through Jesus we can overcome him. So states Hebrews 2:14. Says that Jesus through death overcame the one who had the power of death, the devil. When Eve and Adam yielded to Satan in the Garden of Eden, Satan gained the power over mankind at that point, power of death. And he had man in his jaws, so to speak, until Jesus came, died, went into the Hadean world, and came back from that Hadean world with his victory over Satan. And in that he makes us free from the power of Satan, in that the power of the Lord is greater than the power of Satan. The next verse in Hebrews 2 at verse 15 says, he makes us free even from the fear of death. He delivered them from the fear of death, those who were lifetime subject to death itself and to the fear of death. There's hardly a week goes by but that one of our families is touched by death. Yesterday, Judy and I attended the funeral of her aunt, 78 years old, but a Christian. One of the things that's been such a blessing in our family is most of the people who've been close to us who've passed on have been Christians. Almost every week or every other week, it seems that I'm involved with some family in a funeral. Death comes. But for those of us who are Christians, we don't have to fear death. We can look it square in the face without being afraid, and that's made possible by the power of Jesus. Freed from the power and the fear of death, power of Satan and the fear of death. We need to be sure that we cherish those freedoms. And I would just even pause at this point to admonish those of you who are not Christians that you ought to think long and hard about what you're turning down when you turn down the Lord who's offered you that kind of freedom. We've had many of our young men and women in this country go to foreign soils and fight and shed their blood and lose their lives to give us the freedoms that we cherish in this nation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross and shed his blood there to give us the spiritual freedoms that we have in the Lord. At least those spiritual freedoms that are available. There are the national freedoms that we cherish, and there are the spiritual freedoms that we cherish. But I tell you something else that's a freedom that we ought to cherish. It's a God-given freedom. I have reference to the freedom of choice. Aren't you thankful God gave us the freedom of choice? That He did not make us puppets or robots to either pull a string or program us to where we would act in such and such a way all the time, but He made us in His likeness with the power of choice and gave us the freedom of choice. He gave Adam and Eve that freedom of choice in the Garden of Eden, and they made the wrong choice. He gave Christ that freedom of choice when He was tempted in the wilderness, and He made the right choice. He gives you and me the choice to believe that we might have everlasting life and not perish, John 3:16. Whosoever will can believe, Romans 22:17. But He also gave us the choice to disbelieve if we want it. He gave us the choice to come unto Him and follow Him, and even invites us, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But He gave us the choice to rebel against Him, and tells us in His book of some who did. No wonder Joshua could say to those back in days of old in Joshua 24, and ringing through that to us today, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, because he realized that God had given man the freedom of choice. He even spelled out the gods of Egypt, the gods in this land, or whomever you decide to serve, or the God of heaven. You have the choice. You have the freedom of choice to decide what God you will serve. May God bless us and help us to never take our freedoms for granted, but to cherish our freedoms. Cherish the freedoms that we had when we were born, or that we obtained by some price in becoming citizens of this nation. Let us not take them for granted, but stand up for them and defend them and be ready to fight for them in the right way, that our children and grandchildren and so on down the line can enjoy those same freedoms that you and I have, and tomorrow particularly, but throughout the year in general. Let's be reminded of that. And then let us be reminded of those freedoms in Jesus Christ that we ought to cherish, freedoms that He's offered us. Even freedom from the penalty of sin, the power of the devil, and the fear of death. And when we do that, we ought to especially appreciate our freedom of choice and exercise our right to choose by choosing that which is right. There are those here this morning who need to make that choice. You need to believe in Jesus Christ as the one who brought true freedom. Repent of sin that you might, through obedience to Christ, being buried with Him in baptism, have that penalty of sin removed and be free in Christ to serve and to live for Him. There may be some of you in the audience this morning who've once been baptized, but you've not been active and involved and faithful as a Christian. You need to come back again, exercising that power of choice and that freedom of choice, to come back to Jesus and to once again live for Him. You have the right to the freedom of choice, and we encourage you to make the right choice by coming to Jesus as together we stand and sing.
song before the Lord's Supper this morning will be number 79. 79. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and waken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory's circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
Our Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for this loaf, which, when broken, represents to us as Christians the body of our Lord and Savior who suffered and died on the cross for our sins. Be with each of us as we partake of it at this time. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of our Lord, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. Bless us now as we partake of it, that we may do so in a way that be pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.